Hey, welcome back. My name is Dominic Gasem, and you're listening to PR Hangover.
Welcome back to PR Hangover. Today, I'm joined with Shanika Carter. Today, just a quick little intro question, icebreaker. Being an author yourself, what's your favorite piece of literature?
I would say nonfiction as of right now. It's so crazy that when I was younger, I had more time to be in book clubs and read all the time. And I used to love fiction. And that's what made me. I wanted to be a fiction writer. And then it's like I got grown and a little wiser. And I started becoming more interested in the stories of personal stories of people that overcame whatever they did to get to where they are. And I find that with biographies and nonfiction, I tend to lean toward those because they inspire me. So that's where I am right now.
That's a very good way to look at it too. I think I'm kind of in my fiction stage right now too. I prefer the fiction stuff a little bit more. Oh, it has its place. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Exactly.
Obviously, you have your own business, so your own writing business. Assuming you do a lot of writing in this business, but what's the process of really writing anything for you, and where do you kind of draw inspiration from?
Sure. Let me say hello. Hello, everyone. And Dominic, thank you for the opportunity. But for me, and yes, you're right, I do a lot of different types of writing. My process, and I think it may be different for everyone, and it evolves and changes because it all kinds of depend on my mood and my setting. So like, for instance, I do a lot of editing. So when I'm editing, I'm good with just getting in my little office space in my place, or even setting up my little desk while I sit in my recliner. And I've started this exercise that I do with my writing students where I set a timer. It might be for 20 minutes. It could be for an hour. Like, I set aside time that I'm going to work on this particular project. And so when I set that timer and put on my instrumental music, I just go for it. That's with the editing. Now, when I'm writing, I tend to do better if I go to like a coffee shop or somewhere, because at home I get so comfortable cutting on Netflix and everything else in the background. So I have to leave there when I'm actually writing. And usually I find that going in the coffee shop is peaceful, or like a Barnes and Noble or something like that. So that's my process that really helps me. And it could be being in those places in public. I get the people watch and things of that nature. So it gives me more things to write about, I think.
And just because you do have your own writing business, how do you kind of like put yourself in the mind space to speak in so many different like roles or like voices?
What is really important with that, so when I do get a new client, I prefer that if I can, but in many cases I can, because I do have clients that don't necessarily live in Michigan or Muskegon, which is where I reside. But if I can have that opportunity to meet them, and then mostly now it has been Zoom, it gives me an idea of who they are. I kind of get to know them a little bit, what they want with their project, and then kind of pick up on their voice and how their writing pieces would be in their voice. So that's what helps me get in the mindset of it. And then, of course, you know, going back and forth, giving them that chance to kind of review what I've done, that takes it even a step further with getting it right for them and their project.
So just with the process of that, like onboarding new clients, how do you kind of relate to your new client? Like, what's that process kind of like in writing with something you really don't have a lot of knowledge on?
So in many cases, like with onboarding, and what has really worked for me, And I won't say surprisingly, but I'm surprised by it. Like, for instance, I'm always thinking that I need to do better, like with a marketing angle or something to that extent. But word of mouth has been so like the thing for me, and it continues to bring in people to the point where I don't necessarily have to do anything bigger than that. But with the word of mouth, it's like people come to me or they follow me on my social media or reach out that way, and they've already spoken to someone who knows me. So they've kind of gotten to know me already before I get to know them, or they have an idea of what I can do with the particular type of project that they want. So it really doesn't take a whole lot because they've done their research. So then it's just a matter of me, I guess, doing mine, and then, taking that time to, like, just, get them to open up or warm up to me. But I'm a communications major, so that's not hard for me to do, or get them to talk or whatever.
Yeah, this next question is personal to me. How do you really add style to your writing, and when is it an appropriate time to add style?
Yes, absolutely. So when I and this is something that I recently just cut off within myself, and I do this with my writing students. So I was always trying to be a perfectionist with my writing. So, say for instance, I would get to writing, but I would stop all the time because I'm trying to fix typos or I'm trying to fit in my style and everything. And what that does, it interrupts or stifles like your creativity or your flow. So what I do now, like I mentioned, how when I am doing editing, for instance, or setting aside this time to write, what I do now is a term called free drafting. And this is what I do with my students. So I tell them just write, 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 type, type. Type, don't stop to try to do anything, because once the timer goes off, you'll get that time to go back and then clean it up, organize it. And so that's what I do for myself now. So while I'm writing, I think I've been writing long enough where I kind of incorporate certain things that I consider to be my style. But when I'm done with that free writing, I go back in. And then that's when I kind of incorporate everything that I feel is missing. And when I do go back over it, I read it out loud, because to me, that helps me hear how it may sound to the reader. And so usually what my style is, I want to make sure that like my dialogue is natural and conversational. It's not forced. So I'm able to go back in and add those things in at that point. So I would say focus on getting it all out first, and then go back in and incorporate what you consider to be your style. That works for me anyway.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to try that style myself. In GVPR, so say in Grand PR, we do a decent amount of blog writing. So what are just some tips or some things that are just commonly overlooked in blog writing that we should really pay attention to?
Yes, definitely. And you know what? You might could provide me some tips yourself, because blog writing is something I have constantly struggled with. I love it, but because things get so like tedious and just hectic for me, I don't stick with it. So one thing that I noticed, and that's the crazy thing, I have clients who have been blog writers before. And what I notice is that there's preparation that goes along with that, or maybe even setting aside a specific date or time that you're going to do it. So, like, for instance, I think with me, just like I put everything else on my calendar, and I don't know why I don't do this with blogging, I think you need to be able to have like a set day or a set time. Like, say if I want to focus on Fridays, I'm going to do my blog writing and I'm going to post it at this particular time. If I'm going to do that, I know for me, I probably need to prepare like maybe the day before about what it's going to be about, the points I'm going to cover, and that sort of thing. So I think what should not be overlooked is not preparing. So definitely prepare and have a set date or time that you're going to do it. I think that's what should not be overlooked, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Just a little transition into your kind of business side. As a freelance writer, what would you say makes a piece of writing really strong versus very weak?
I would say just from the pieces that I pick up, I do like a lot of freelance writing for publications that are considered solutions journalism. And that was my start too, as a matter of fact, when I graduated undergrad and started writing. So different like community-based publications. So one thing that I do, like if I'm given an assignment, it could be covering an event or covering, something that's happening in the community. But the people that I'm going to interview in that, one angle that I take, and I do this first and foremost, is I ask them questions about themselves. Like I try to connect them with their community first and foremost. And I start from the past to what got them to where they are now. And what I noticed with that, and even like my editors, like this angle that I take, because it helps the readers to get a more of a rapport or a relatable approach. So they feel like it's more personable, the persons that I include in my interviews and then in my articles. So I always try to make sure that the reader gets to know the people that are involved in whatever event or whatever action or thing that is taking place. So I think being able to build that connection with the people is what can make your writing strong, being able to be relatable. And then I guess what would be weak is if you're not able to build that connection, I would say.
Like, what really trends have you kind of noticed in like writing just during your career and kind of recently too?
Yes. So and I'm really about to age myself here. So when I first started writing, like it was after undergrad in Michigan State. I had graduated in 98, December 98. And so when I started seeking out writing opportunities, man, I mean, very different. Everything was like mailing out resumes or your examples of your pieces. I had a portfolio with actual printed out articles and things that I've done. The internet and technology has made everything so much convenient and faster and better. I really absolutely love it. Like I still have my things saved, but they're, in my laptop. I don't have like a pile of paper still. But you can immediately email people, pitch different publications, and everything is accessible. And I really absolutely love that, because it does save a lot of time. You get a quicker response if you get any at all. So that's what I've noticed, like from the time over 20 plus years, 25 plus years ago to now. It's just, with the internet and social media and all the platforms that writers have, and some I haven't even tried yet. I know there's many out there for writers, but I say take advantage of them and use them so you can reach even more people. So yeah, that's what I've noticed during my career with writing.
The internet does make everything easy. I guess I wouldn't have a before perspective because I've kind of just been exposed to the internet my whole life. But like, what do you think is the key to gaining this like independence in your career path? Like, how do you really get into freelance?
I will say it definitely takes discipline. So I love, love, love. Like for instance, when I'm not freelancing, I'm teaching. Like Grand Valley is one of the schools where I'm a adjunct professor, and so even with that schedule, I'm able to like come to campus, teach a class or two, and then I leave. And then I go and start working on my freelance projects or whatnot. So that can be hard sometimes though, if you don't have the discipline where, like I say, I schedule everything out. That's what works for me. I put it on my calendar that I'm going to work on this and that. But what that also includes, you have to network, you have to set aside time to like go out to different events. And that was the thing, like coming back to Muskegon after college, knowing that I wanted to freelance and be independent, there weren't a whole lot of networking opportunities for me back then. When I moved to Grand Rapids, probably a few years later, it was a total big difference. You know, bigger city, so more networking avenues and platforms. And what worked for me was pushing myself. Like that was outside my comfort zone because I was a writer, I wasn't a communicator. And so, as far as orally or speaking to people and that sort of thing. And so I had to push myself out there, go to those events. And the ironic thing about that, this would have been when I moved to Grand Rapids about 2005 or somewhere like that. So yeah, that's been like 15 plus years or so. Those same connections that I made back then, although back then they didn't seem like anything was going to happen with them, are people who remember me grinding and doing my hustle back then. And they see now that I have the right flow and vibe and that it has evolved. So those are the people that seek me out and they, you know, use the word of mouth to refer me. And just being able to still, I guess, be sustainable from that time up to now is like proof to other people that I could be a reliable person to do business with. So it definitely takes reaching out, networking, putting yourself out there, promoting yourself. I try to remind myself to use social media as much as possible. And the most that I use is like Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I know there's other, like for the younger generations, like I don't know much about like Snapchat and all that other stuff, but and TikTok, I like it, but I just got to get more comfortable with doing it on a regular basis. But just any way that you could just keep the word out about what you do, that has been helpful in keeping me bringing in the clientele. Yeah, that's what has worked for me, and I definitely encourage that.
Just kind of a closer question. What is a piece of advice you'd give college students? You can take that however you want.
Being that one of the, like I mentioned, I do teach writing and a lot of other communication courses, I would say work on developing whatever skill that you feel that would be useful down the line. So like for instance, if you want to do more writing, start developing that skill now. Like you know, I come across a lot of good writers, like in their work and in their research. And of course, they could use a little bit of help. But then what I find by the end of that course, they have develop the more they're more confident about what they've done. You know, I try to provide feedback, do one-on-ones, and try to help them when it comes to writing and communications, just because that's my thing and I love and I'm passionate about trying to help improve my students. And so what I've seen though, that once they get that confidence and you know feel more comfortable doing it, then I notice that you know, you have students who may apply for like writing center roles, or they may even change their major to something different, whether it's writing or communications or whatnot. So I think being able to get that skill developed where they become stronger and more confident with it during this time in college, that is a bonus. and something that will definitely help once they go out and they start applying for jobs and getting into their profession, even if they decide that they do something different. Being a good communicator, and being able to write, put together sentences is helpful like in any field. So that's what I would say. Work on your skills, even if it's something that you don't feel will benefit you later. At least you will have it if it comes up later down the line. So that's what I suggest.
Lovely answer, and I just want to thank you again for joining me tonight or today. It's been a really great episode, great experience. I will link all of Shanika's information and social media and website down in the description. Do you have any final comments you want to make?
Just again, thank you so much for this
Of
opportunity.
course.
I'm going to keep listening to your episodes. So thank you for what you do. Thank you.
As this episode comes to a close, I just want to remind you that all of the guest information is available in the bio. And thank you for choosing PR Hangover.